shake their hand or kiss them if you're kin to them, and you can be seated this morning. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, welcome, man. Thanks for coming. Thanks for hanging out. Let's put our hands together and welcome our online guests today that are watching at home. And so, what about Darren didn't wear his skinny jeans today? Woo! Looking good, boy. So, man, it's so good to be here today. I want to take just a minute as we get started to recognize that last month, October, was Pastor Appreciation Month, and you guys were so, so gracious to me. And so on behalf of me and Tubby and my family and all the pastors, we just want to say thank you for loving on us and giving to us. So put your hands together, yeah. And so it's a great day to be here. We're going to close out our series today. Our series is entitled We're Burning Daylight. We've been talking about the value and the importance of time and how we can get distracted and how we can waste the time that God has given us. And so we titled this thing, We're Burning Daylight. And so for some of you, you go, man, what does that even mean, Cody? What does it mean that we're burning daylight? So we're going to show you a quick video and let you know what we're burning daylight means.
Come on, Jim, get up, get up. Thank God, get up. Let the sun catch you sleeping. Mr. Neilinger, what's for breakfast?
Stewed apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
Burning daylight? All I see is stars.
You can see a lot more if you're going to move on.
Come on, who don't love John Wayne? Give John Wayne some love today. So we're burning daylight. I mean, come on, y'all. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. That's what it means, burning daylight. It's an old cowboy saying. It just simply means this, get up. It means get up. It means wake up. It means get ready. It means be ready when the sun comes up because we have a limited amount of time of daylight, and then it's going to get dark, and we can't do the work that God has called us to do once it gets dark. We're burning daylight. How many of you are like me? I am 53 years old now. I know I don't look like that, but I am. We're burning daylight. How many of you would agree with me today that, you know what, as I look at my life and I see the life that I've lived in 53 years, like I've already lived half of my life, that we're burning daylight. Let's take advantage of every opportunity that God has given us. Let's seize the moment. Let's carpe diem. It means time is of the essence. And so I'm going to tell you today, as we get started, I'm going to go over and I'm going to review what we've talked about the last 4 weeks. Because I have found out this, pastoring is a lot like parenting. How many know you can't just tell your kids something one time? You got to tell them over and over and over again. And so today I just want to talk about it because I want us to close out this series and I want us to be aware of the time that we have left. And so Jesus even understood this. Jesus is our model. Jesus is the one that we live our lives to be like. And in John chapter 9, verse number 4, Jesus said these words. John chapter 9, verse number 4. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is daytime. The night is coming when no one can work. If Jesus understood the importance of time, shouldn't we understand the importance of time as well? You go back to the Old Testament and you read in the book of Job. Job understood the importance of time, and Job said this in Job chapter 14, verse number 5. Job chapter 14, verse number 5, he said this. He said, God, you have decided the length of our days. You know how many months we will live, and we are not given a minute longer. Can I just tell you, it's the brevity of life. Can I just tell you that we are all living this life on this earth, and how many of you are blessed by the time that God has already given you? Somebody shout amen. We are blessed by the time that we've given us, and no matter what kind of diet you have, no matter how much exercise you do, no matter what kind of supplements you take, God has already decided this is how long we are going to live, and I don't know about you, but as good as my God has been to me, and all the things that my God has brought me from a mighty long way, and after everything God has done for me, I want to seize the moment, and I want to take advantage of every minute I have moving forward. I'll tell you, we're burning daylight. We're burning daylight. And here's the deal as a pastor. I'll just talk to you a little bit today. As a pastor, my calling, the calling that God has placed on my life. As a pastor, I deal with a lot of death. I deal with a lot of death. You know, it's funny that no one wants anything to do with the church, but as soon as somebody dies, they call the church and want the church to come in. Part of my job, and so I'll say that. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be a part of your life, but it's a privilege to be a part of people's death as well. You get to talk to them. You get to minister to them and mentor them. And so one of the things that I hear the very most, I'm at the bedside of dying people, of people that are about to take their last breath of life. And one of the things that I hear the most from people that are dying is this: regret. Lots of regret. They say this to me: I wish I would have spent more time, you fill in the blank. I wish I would have spent more time, you fill in the blank. I have never, ever stood at the bedside of a dying person and heard them say this: I wish I would have made more money. I've never stood by the bedside and heard someone say, I wish I would have given more to my career, or I wish that I would have owned more cattle or owned more horses. I've never heard a woman say, I wish I would have kept my house a little bit cleaner. But you know what they say? I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have spent more time with my spouse. I wish I would have spent more time with my children. I wish I would have just spent more time with my friends. And one thing I hear them say is, I wish I would have spent more time honoring God with my life and all that I do. You know, we got to take advantage of these moments, y'all. We take our moments and we take our minutes and we take our life for granted. And I want to say to you today that if we cherish the time that we have, if we steward the time that we have well, we will create more moments in our life. We devoted an entire year of sermon series talking about moments and how our life is not defined by minutes, but it's defined by moments. It's these moments that capture our heart. It's these moments that play vividly in our mind. It's these moments that propel us to be better and remind us of the people around us. I want to tell you today a few moments in my life, and some of you have heard these stories, but a moment for me that I've always cherished and always relished and tried to carry on to the next generation is breakfast with my granddaddy Red. My granddaddy Red, he loved for the family to sit at the table together. He loved breakfast together. Granddaddy Red, when we spent the night with Granddaddy Red and Nanny Cherry. I mean, what a cool couple, Red and Cherry. And Granddaddy Red would get up early, man, and you'd hear him in there banging them pots around and clanging them old cast iron skillets. It wasn't none of that Teflon, no stick stuff back then. Come on, somebody. He would get up early, man. He would get up earlier than everybody, and he would cook bacon, and he would cook sausage, and he would cook biscuits and cook gravy. And my Granddaddy Red made the best fried eggs ever. He didn't spray Pam in the bottom of the pan and cook an egg a little bit and then turn it over. He had that Crisco about that deep in them old cast iron skillets. You didn't dare turn them eggs over. You just splashed that hot grease up on top of that yolk to cook it. Come on, somebody. And then he'd get them biscuits out of the oven, and he'd say to my grandmother, he'd say, Charidon, get them biscuits butter while it's melt that butter while they're still hot. Man, we just sat around that table, and it was nothing extravagant. But, man, I just remember my family hanging out together, eating breakfast, and my kids. My granddaddy Red died before my kids were ever born. But you know what? I'd tell my kids about the moments I had with my granddaddy Red at the breakfast table, and then times we would get up at our house and we would cook a big breakfast, and I'd look over to my kids and I'd say, you know who this reminds me of? And they'd say, Granddaddy Red, right, Daddy? It was just a moment that I remember, this moment that I had. And tell you about another moment. Last spring, Jennifer decided to do some spring cleaning. Yeah, it was the first time she'd done spring cleaning in the 27 years that we've been married. But she starts spring cleaning and looking through this stuff, and I come home one afternoon, and there's a stack about that tall of love letters that she and I wrote to one another over the years. We were so in love back then. She talked so sweet to me, and I was the best thing ever, and I loved her. And it was just a moment when we opened those letters and read those letters, and it was a special moment that we had together. I'll tell you about one more moment I had. Jennifer and I got married, and we moved to Guthrie. We moved to the Sixes, and we were going to church at Roaring Springs. We drove 53 miles to church over there, and the very morning that I got up and walked the aisle. That preacher, I was a Baptist boy. It was a Pentecostal church, and that preacher preached about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I was like, what's the Holy Spirit? We don't talk about that in the Baptist church. But he said the Holy Spirit would give you some power, and I knew I needed some power. And I got up, went to the front, and that's the day that I got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I went home that night to that ranch house, and I had this big 10-pound King James Dakes annotated reference Bible. And I walked to the back room of that ranch house, and I remember I laid my hand on that Bible, and I said, Lord, I want this Bible to mean something to me. I don't want to just read it like I've always read it and forget what I've read. Let this mean something to me. And I did this right here. How many of you have done this? Just open the Bible to wherever it fell. And it fell to Luke chapter 19. And it tells the story of Jesus, the triumphal entry of Jesus riding a bronc donkey into town to Jerusalem that day. And I was like, dang, Jesus rode a donkey. And somehow that same night I wound up in Revelation 19. And that tells the story of Jesus coming back one day riding a white horse and all the armies in heaven riding white horses with him. And it was a moment that shaped me and changed me forever. And here's what I want you to see. I share those moments with you because I want you to see someone stewarded their minutes so that I could experience that moment. Granddaddy Red got up early and said, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to take my minutes and I'm going to prepare this moment. Jennifer and I, we had those letters. We wrote letters to one another. And we've been talking about over here on Wednesday nights the importance of writing letters and how Paul wrote these letters to the church. You know what? She took some time to write me a letter. And most of the letters that I wrote her, I was on a ranch north of Flagstaff, Arizona, living in a teepee at a wagon working cattle, and I took time to write her letters. That moment was cherished because we took time. The moment where I understood Jesus was a cowboy was because I said, I'm going to take my moments, and I'm going to use them to get to know God better. When we steward our time and when we take advantage of every opportunity, God will present moments in our life. Can I tell you something? Jesus came to redeem us and to forgive us of all our sins, but he also came so that we can redeem time and make the most of every moment. He just did. And so I said this last week. I'm crying, so I got to wipe my nose up here. My nose is running, y'all. Sorry. I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. I believe that anything that you and I do that is disobedient to the word of God is sin. Would you agree with that? Say a good amen. And we think about sin in the church. We think about, oh, them whoremongers. Oh, them dope heads. Oh, them drunks. We think about all these things that we label sin. Can I tell you? I believe that wasting time is a sin. I believe that wasting time is a sin because Ephesians 5:16-17. Ephesians 5:16-17 says this, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. God has commanded us to take advantage of our time. So what steals our time? What is it that happens in your life? What is it that happens in my life that causes me to waste time? And it's one big word, and that word is this, distractions. Just distracted. That is a secret tactic of the enemy. The enemy will come in, very subtle, get us distracted from God, get us distracted from our marriage. We show up at church on Sunday morning, but we're distracted and we don't worship and we don't hear the word of God. Distraction is killing our time. And we have to wake up and we have to be aware of what is distracting me. Let's talk about a few of those things that are distracting us. Number one, right here. Come on, somebody. I know you love Jesus, and I know you posted a scripture on Instagram last week, but I also know you spent 20 hours last week on your phone, doom scrolling, looking up, saying, oh, I wish my marriage was like that. Oh, I wish my house was that clean. Oh, I wish I had that much joy. We get caught up in this thing, and I'm not anti-technology. Don't get me wrong. Last week, I was studying at my bar at home, and I said to Jennifer, I was looking for a scripture. I couldn't remember where the scripture was. I remember the days when you had to flip through the Bible looking for a scripture. Nowadays, you can just say, hey, where's this scripture at? And, you know, quote part of it, it'll take you right to it. So I'm not anti-technology, but I'm saying we're raising up a generation. This is all they know. When we go out to eat, I see people sitting at the dinner table, husband and wife on a date night, and they're not talking. They're looking at their phone, waiting on somebody to bring their food. And I see kids. I love kids, man. It's okay. Clara watches the iPad when we travel. Clara watches the iPad some at our house. But we have got to be aware that this is a distraction, not just for adults, but for children as well. Doom scrolling. Man, look at the statistics. It will prove, statistics prove that when we stay on these phones too long, we have increased anxiety, increased depression, and increased to isolate ourselves and to get, stay away from everyone. The phones, screens, and scrolling. The second thing is this procrastination. Anybody struggle with that? Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Our life is like a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. Stop putting off till tomorrow what you can do today. It was my lesson when I was a kid growing up. Just go get it done. Go do it now. When we procrastinate and put things off, it keeps us from being obedient to God in the moment. And then the next thing is this. How many of you know a lot of us commit to the wrong things? We got to learn to say no to some stuff. You can't say yes to everything. I'm good with that. I'm good with saying yes. I'm good with grinding. I'm good with going. But man, busyness does not equal fruitfulness. And we have to learn to say no. Some of you in here today got to say no. Say no. Say no. Say no to some stuff. And I get to hear me on this. But it's the truth. When you're involved, even in some good things, we need to say no to. When you're involved in men's Bible study, when you're involved in women's Bible study, when your girls are playing volleyball and your boys are playing baseball and some of them are trying to rodeo and some of them are trying to do ballet and some of them are trying to do this, we get so distracted in so many things that we don't even know what's going on in our mind. What about this one? Unforgiveness and anger. So many of us struggle with unforgiveness because they did me wrong. I don't deserve this. That shouldn't have happened to me. And we get it in our minds, and then when we harbor unforgiveness long enough, we get anger and rage and bitterness inside of us. And when that happens, unforgiveness traps us in the past, and it robs us of the time that we have right now. So we got to stop letting it play in our minds. We have to trust the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Last thing I'll say is this. Worry and anxiety. We get so worried. We're so fearful. We're so afraid of making the wrong decision, and we don't know exactly what to do. Statistics say that 33% of the people in America struggle with anxiety and fear. And fear cripples us. That's 1 in 3. Count it off in here. And when we are struggling with fear and anxiety, we won't make decisions. You know what I believe with all of my heart? More is lost by indecision than wrong decision. Let me say that again. More is lost by indecision than wrong decision. We have to be aware. Now, maybe some of you say, okay, Cody, you know what? None of those things you listed are keeping me from taking care of my time and stewarding my moments. Here's what I want you to do. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is it in my life that is keeping me from making the most of every opportunity? And then listen to the Spirit and be obedient to that thing. See, life, how many would agree with me? Life is full of seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. Now, how many would agree with me? Let's be real. Can we be real today? Some seasons suck. Some seasons suck. It's just a tough season. It's a rough season, and we don't like it. But here's what I want you to know. God is working in every season. God is working in every season, and we need to embrace that season and take advantage of that. Springtime, spring season. How many don't love spring? It's a sign of newness, and the grass starts growing, and the fruit trees start putting out leaves, and it's a great season. Everybody loves spring. And then comes summer, and it gets a little hot, but that's when you start producing fruit. That's when you pick peaches and pick pears and enjoy the fruit of all of that stuff. And then fall comes. Come on, somebody. Come on, fall. It cools off a little bit. Fall is a time of just letting go. Fall is a time of rest. It's time when the leaves fall off, and then there's winter. That's the one that sucks. Come on, somebody. Because nothing is growing. There's no leaves on the trees. It's just a nub sticking up there. But here's what happens in a wintertime. In wintertime, nothing is growing up top, but under proper nutrition, the roots are growing underneath the ground so that when the next fruit production season comes, the tree can grow and it can hold and produce more fruit. So we got to embrace those seasons. Let's talk about a few seasons. As I look down here, babies everywhere in this church, man. Praise the Lord. At least we know that it takes a male and a female to come together to reproduce babies at Bethel Assembly. Just saying. We got babies all over this place. I remember when our babies were born. Is that a new season for us? When the first baby's born? Absolutely. Do we need a little bit of patience when that first baby comes along? Do we need some endurance? Do we need to learn to how to stay up a little longer and operate on less sleep? For sure. But I'm just telling you, I want to tell all of y'all, embrace that season with them babies, man. They ain't gonna be like this forever. Walk the floor with them. Give them a bottle. Enjoy them, you know, because I look at my kids and they're 24 and they're 21 and they're 14. And what I wouldn't give to go back to that season where I could just hold them and rock them and change a diaper if I needed to, y'all. It's a great season, so don't get overwhelmed and distracted. Make the most of that time. And then they grow up to be children. They grow up to be children. They start walking and talking and repeating what you say. And can I just say, when your children are young, man, I get it. I understand. But you know what? Play with your children. Play with them. Turn the TV off. Throw the football. Go rope the dummy. Read with them. Do anything. Spend time with them, because sooner or later, can I tell you what else we need to do? When our children are children and they're young and they're not babies anymore, start training them and teaching them how to live life. We live in a world where we don't teach and train anymore, or we send them to school and let the school teach and train them. Or we bring them to church, the children's church, and let the teachers teach and train them. You know what? It's your job as parents to teach your children. Teach them some proper manners, how to say yes, ma'am, how to say yes, sir. Teach them how to look somebody in the eye. Teach them some responsibility. We need to teach our children. And you know what? There's a struggle there, because next season is teenagers. And I'm going to give you my opinion of why teenagers are such a struggle for so many of us, because we didn't teach and train them when they were young. If we would have taught them and trained them when they were young and how to be adults and have adult conversation when they get to be teenagers, now we can sit down with them and enjoy the fruits of our labor. And then you know what I mean? Then they become young adults. My kids are young adults. Can I say something to all you young adults? Do something with the time that you have right now. You're going to get married someday, hopefully. You're going to have some kids someday. You're going to enter into a career when you're a young adult, whatever age that is. Take advantage of your time. Do not waste it. Do not sit around. Do not blow all your money. Do not blow all your time. Take advantage of the time you have as a young adult, because soon you'll get married. And then when you get married, whoo, doggy, come on, somebody. Another season that's a struggle, but a great struggle. It's worth it all. When you get married, when you're young married, you know, enjoy that. And then I hear people all the time, we're just empty nesters. Man, we're fighting now more than we ever were. We're empty nesters. We don't know what to do. I mean, I'm like, come on, somebody. What is wrong with you? Listen to the words of Merle Haggard. Let's lock and bolt the door tonight and let's chase each other around the room. Come on, somebody. It's empty nest. Enjoy that. And the next season is grandchildren. Will and Jesse. Are we ever going to have any grandchildren? They say that's the best season. I'm just saying, y'all, life is full of seasons, and we got to take advantage of every one of them. We can never get our time back. We can never get our time back. So how? Cody, help me. How do I take full advantage of the time God has given me and the opportunities God? The first thing you got to do is make a commitment. How many know our world needs us to take commitments these days? We ain't committed to nothing. Make a commitment. I'm not wasting any more time. Make a commitment. I'm going to love Tubby better every time. Make a commitment. I'm going to spend time. Make a commitment. And so I'm just saying, here's another thing. I feel like preaching to y'all. Here's another thing. I love this concept of discipleship. Discipleship. Jesus had 12 disciples. And they're just common, ordinary, messed up people. And he brought them alongside him, and he showed them how to live life, and he showed them how to have relationship, and he showed them about the power of God. Can I tell you, if you and I are going to be all that God has called us to be, we need somebody in our life that has already been through the season that we're in, and we need to go to them, and we need to hang out with them, and we need to ask them, would you help me to make it through this season that I've not been through before? This scripture, the word of God tells us in Titus, Paul says this. It said that the older men and the older women should instruct and teach and train the younger men and the younger women. How many of you know we need that to come back to the body of Christ? How do I make these changes? First thing you do is recognize it. Recognize it. Don't get all booty hurt because I told you you sucked at time management. You know you do. So recognize it. Recognize I can do better with my time. And I read something the other day. If you write down a problem, you've already got 75% of it accomplished and beaten in your life. So some of you need to pull out your paper or your phone and write down this. I suck at time management. Recognize it. Recognize what's stealing your time. And then you know what you need to do? Repent. Quit making excuses. Stop. Nobody cares that your kids were crying and you were late. Nobody cares that you had to do this and this and this, and that's why you weren't there and why you didn't show up and why you wasted time. Stop. You need to recognize it and repent. And then ask God to redeem your time. God will redeem our time. Let me read you this scripture, Philippians 3, verse 13 through 14. Philippians 3, verse 13 through 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what the enemy's doing to some of you already in here today? Already filling you full of guilt, unworthiness, and condemnation because you wasted a bunch of time in your past. You know what? Every time the enemy reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Come on, somebody. And what happened in the past, at some point, can I just be real with y'all? At some point, you got to put your big girl panties on and pull your big boy britches up and say, what happened in the past is under the blood, and I'm not crying over spilt milk, but from this time forward, I will commit myself, I'll have a schedule, I'll honor God, and I'll take advantage of every opportunity that my God has given me. Press on with intentionality. Press on recognizing the value of time. Here's the promise of God. You ready for the promise of God? Can I hear a good amen? Joel 2:25. Joel 2:25. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locust, the hopping locust, the stripping locust, and the cutting locust. God says, I will give it back to you. And I'll make it more precious in the future than it is right now. So here's the bottom line. Here's the question on the table. Are you and I willing to take a brutally honest and authentic look at how we steward our time? Are we willing to look? Are we willing to stop making excuses? Are we willing to commit to stewarding our time better? Oftentimes when I preach about tithing, the dreaded sermon that no one wants to hear and no preacher wants to preach. But when I preach about tithing, I often say this to people who have never tithed before. I say, if you'll commit to tithing on a regular basis for 6 months, if you'll commit every time I get a check, 10%, I commit on a regular basis. And then after 6 months, if you don't see the benefits of tithing, we will go back to the church office and we'll pull up every dime you got and we'll write you a check and give you every bit of your money back. Do you know in 25 years, I've never had anybody say that tithing deal doesn't work? Because it does, because it's a principle in the Word of God. And because it works and because it's a principle in the Word of God, stewarding our time is the same thing. Unfortunately, I can't say all that to you. I can't say if you'll commit to stewarding your time better, that in 6 months, if you don't see a change, I'll give you your time back. But I can say this to you. If you'll commit to stewarding your time and making the most of every opportunity, you will not be sorry. You will not be sorry. Time is precious. Conrad Worship Team, y'all come help me close. I want to close with this. If we'll take advantage of our time, we'll experience more moments. Think about, just for a minute, moments in your life. We spend a year discussing it. Moments that changed your life. Moments that defined you, shaped your life and your future, shaped your perspective. How many of you say, I could use some more of those? Then the ball is in your court to steward your minutes. steward your minutes, and you'll have moments with God. You'll have moments with your loved ones. You'll have moments of joy, moments of peace, and moments of fulfillment. Can I tell you this? If you and I start stewarding our time better, people around you will respect you a whole lot more. People will respect you a whole lot more. And when we steward our time well, our children will get a blessing from the way that we took care of time. So I'm going to ask you if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. Man, God has been so good to us. Redeemed us of so much. Given us a second chance at so many things. I really mean what I'm fixing to say. I can't believe how good the Lord is. I can't believe how good He's been to me and my family, this church. I can't believe the things He's forgiven me of. It blows my mind. I can't believe how good the Lord is. And after all He's done for me, it makes me inspired. It makes me want to be passionate to go, God, whatever many days and however many months you have left for me, I want to take advantage of every one of them. I'm not going to let the devil distract me anymore. I'm not going to get caught up in foolish games and the ways of the world. I'm going to focus on what matters. And what matters the most is my faith, and what matters the most is my family. And I'm going to commit to you, Lord. So I just pray for this church and myself that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit. That we would have to have this maybe uncomfortable moment right now where we could look at how we've stewarded our time and how we spend our time, and help us understand time is so precious. Don't let us just feel bad, but push us, Holy Spirit. Guide us to make the right steps and to make the right changes so that we can live life to the fullest and enjoy everything that you've laid out for us. Lord, you are good and you are mighty, and I pray you would continue to move in the closing moments of this service as we close in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So I want you to stand on your feet. We're going to close with worship, and I'm going to tell you one more thing. I can't believe how good the Lord is. And I want you to look at me. Look, 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 look. Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's get it on. Slap some bacon on a biscuit. Let's get it on. Take advantage of every moment and every opportunity. Let's sing like we love the Lord.